Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for business owners and investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Michael Bowman, an attorney, author, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
I welcome everybody to Bowman's Business Brief, a subsection of Anderson Business Advisors podcast. So what the Bowman's Business Brief and Anderson podcast, what we focus on is current issues in the business world, but also in the real estate world. And so lately, a lot of our clients have been calling and asking questions about getting financing for the rental properties. And so I've been answering those questions, and I thought it would be really applicable to our clientele to go ahead and get it straight from a mortgage broker, a person who does mortgages for rental properties and for investors. And so I started looking around and I realized that I had a resource very, very close to me. And so I asked my brother, Todd Bowman, who works for AmeriFirst. He's my brother and also my fishing buddy. Thought I'd get him on the line and record a podcast just regarding all the ins and outs of getting financing for your rental properties, because a lot of clients, again, have had trouble getting financing. So I'd like to welcome Todd Bowman to the show. Todd?
Hey, thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate being having the opportunity to visit with your clients.
Yeah. Now, what's cool about this is when I looked at some of the questions and then I asked Todd if he'd be able to do it, he wrote out a bunch of questions that he continually gets asked. And so this is going to be a great resource for our investors regarding getting financing. And so to kind of get a baseline, the first thing that I want to go over is just the basics. And what do you need to go ahead and qualify for an investment property to get a loan?
Well, first and foremost, when you do an investment property, have your ducks in a row. You've got to have your financing already set in place. A lot of mistakes of first-time investors, they go out and they look on Zillow and Trulia and things, and they want to, they could find the property, and then they contact a real estate agent, and boom, the real estate agent asks, do you have a pre-approval letter or a pre-approved financing? And they go, oh. So that's number one, is get your financing in place before you go out looking. Things that you will need right away for a mortgage specialist, you'll need 2 years tax returns, W-2s for those 2 years. And the reason why they want to see that is they want to see, do you write off a bunch of stuff? Do you have other independent businesses that take away from or give you tax credit from your bottom line income? They will also need 1 month's worth of paycheck stubs. Okay, they want to verify your income. They want to see that you make what you say you're going to make. Also, they would like to see 2 months' bank statements just to see that you are a player, that you have the money available to have your down payment covered. Those are the important features.
I love how you say, when we were speaking about that, I was about thinking about putting the cart before the horse and getting prepared. And the exciting part of investing in real estate is actually finding the property, running the numbers, the analysis. And a lot of, like you said, a lot of people don't get their financing in place. And in some markets right now, if you don't have the financing ready to go, the property would be sold up from underneath that. So that's awesome advice. Now, you mentioned something between a pre-approval and a right approval, crowd approval. Explain what types of things to get a pre-approval and what that is.
Excellent question. So when you go to a major bank or something, what a lot of times they're going to do is they're going to give you what's called a credit approval based upon your credit score. Okay. Well, that's great and wonderful. There's too many variables when you do that kind of an approval, because you have, such as your tax returns, if you have a business, big banks aren't going to see the business until they request those from you, and you could be already under contract, and it shows that you write off too much in your business, and it takes away from your bottom line income. This way you don't qualify. What I recommend that all investors do is they get what's called a full underwrite approval before shopping for a home. We do this at AmeriFirst Financial because we do not want to see you go under contract and then get denied at the 12th hour because you didn't have enough income or you did not have enough cash reserves. So be aware of what's called a credit approval versus a full underwrite approval.
That's huge. And what you said is, you know, it falls out of contract, or what you're doing is breaking the contract. And in most cases, you're going to lose your earnest money, which is the money you're putting down to show your good faith in the contract. Awesome. So get the full approval, full underwrite approval, so that you're ready to go and able to close and you don't lose your earnest money. Speaking about putting money down on the deal, it seems that one of the questions that keeps coming up is, hey, how much do I have to have down for a loan? How much of a down payment, how much skin in the game do I have to have, or what are lenders requiring right now?
Yes. In typical investment properties, you're going to see 20% down on an investment property. Now, there is some private monies out there that will do 10% down. Just be aware of those types of terms and conditions, because those are typically, or in the industry, it's called hard money.
Yep.
They're going to have a short-term note and a higher interest rate. Now, depending upon what you're buying this property as a fix and flip, those are ideal types of loans for that, because you're going to be putting less down and you're only going to be carrying it for a short amount of time. But your typical long-term investment rental property, you want to put down 20 to 25% or more, because if you do, then you're going to see that your debt to income and your debt servicing, all those kind of things, will balance out to be more of a profitable investment versus a high interest rate, a short lower down. You're going to see a higher monthly payment, which then takes away from your profit.
Absolutely. Kind of funny how everything kind of flows together. The next thing that we run into with questions and concerns, and a lot of times our clients will call us because at the last minute saying, oh my gosh, I just ran into this problem. How do I jump over this hurdle? And one of the questions that comes up is, I don't have enough money for the down payment. Can my parents gift me the money? Can my brother give me the money? What about gifts? And what about the down payment qualifications?
Right. That happens a lot. And that's why we go back to that whole beginning phase of that qualification. If we, you know, had shown our 2 months bank statements, we would know where we sit financially. And so that is a common occurrence of people that get, you know, the credit approval only. But typically on an investment property, it is your money only. It cannot be a gift. And so that is very critical. Now, the seasoning for your money is 60 days. So if you have a family member that wants to be a part of the investment and wants to be a part, then obviously you're going to have that money in your bank account for 60 days so it is seasoned. And that is going to be a private entity amongst yourselves, not amongst the bank.
Ah, so I just have to ask you for money 61 days in advance before I buy another property.
There you go.
I like it.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. 2 in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
And then, you know, when you get into, again, kind of building your down payment for your skin in the game, there are times where in some markets, the sellers they want to get rid of the property. They're with a probate. They're going through some hard times. They just want to sell it out. And so they're willing to make some concessions. How does that factor into loans?
Actually, is a big key, because there's two factors when it comes to seller concessions. First factor, it's going to reduce your bottom out-of-pocket costs when you're buying this house. So when people buy a home, they typically think down payment only. And that's great. That's what you have skin in the game. What a lot of times beginning investors forget to do is they forget to factor in what are called closing costs. And closing costs are typically your title company, because they don't do it for free. AmeriFirst, we have a $1,450 processing and underwriting fee. And then you're going to have your 6 months worth of taxes and hazard insurance. Everything gets incorporated into the down payment and closing costs. And I use the word down payment because that's going to be your 20%. And then you've got the closing costs on top of that.
And that made me kind of chuckle because I remember one of my first real estate deals when I went in there and I had calculated, oh, I got the down payment. This is great. And then all of a sudden there was those fees and taxes. And I said, oh, ouch. And we had to do some creative things to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the seller can contribute up to about 2% of the loan or of the purchase price, which is a great thing. So if you had a $3,000 or $300,000 house that you were buying as an investment property, the seller could contribute $6,000 towards your closing costs and prepaids and taxes, which it doesn't seem like a lot, but if someone handed you $6,000, would you say no to that?
Absolutely not. No, that's another thing is kind of, again, remembering, I don't mind sharing my past transgressions or my mistakes in life. I hope other people learn from them. That's another thing about when you're coming up for the down payment and you're skinning the game is what I call it, is the what happens if you take all of your money and put it into the deal? Are you still going to be able to, when they do the calculations, still qualify for the loan?
Right. Well, on an investment property, you are going to see what are called that you'll need cash reserves. Now, cash reserves are money in your bank account after the transaction is closed. Now, this reserves could be 401ks, depending upon certain IRAs and investment portfolios, or portfolio in stocks and bonds and different things like that, depending upon how liquid they are. But you are going to see, depending upon the number of properties that you own, that you might see up to 2 months to 6 months to 2% of the total loans that you have out on investment properties. So really need to visit with your mortgage specialist to make sure he reviews the number of properties that you own, because that will factor into the cash reserves needed for that investment property.
These are the things that people don't tell you when it comes to when you're online qualifying, like with one of the online brokerages. They don't run through this stuff with you and then they leave you high and dry, for sure. I've ran into that with some clients too, is that they couldn't get the answers there. What about if I buy a property and it's already being leased out?
Excellent question. The nice thing is on when you buy in a property that is and already has a lease on it, you're able to take that lease and you're able to take about 25% of the market rent rules for that area and apply it to your income. So it's instant income streaming. Okay. This will really give you a great opportunity to look at some of your bottom line numbers, saying, look, under this, I'm going to have this instant income, and you could be able to say this is going to be a great deal for me or not.
Well, in addition to pre-qualifying, you need to run your numbers, make sure it's going to be a profitable deal. A lot of people just assume that you're going to get into it and it's just going to be a cash cow. I call it mailbox money. Walk out and grab that check. You really have to run your numbers. So I love education when it comes to real estate investing. They pointed out, they teach you how to go ahead and calculate the investment and make sure that you're not getting into a dog of a property.
Well, Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Michael, but I do have to stress, the numbers don't lie. And I've used this saying for many, many years, because there is so many investment properties. You run the numbers, take the time, they don't pan out. I've had a couple investors that ran the numbers right away and then were like, oh, this is great. And then they got a little cocky in their investments and they just bought properties without running the numbers. And they all of a sudden realized this was a bad deal. So I use the saying, the numbers don't lie, because it will save you a lot of headache and heartache in the future.
And real estate investing is so much fun. You know, I can see how people get caught up into that. All right. So the other part of getting a loan has to be your credit score. And I don't know, back in what, 2005, 2004, you just had to have a pulse to get a loan. I think dogs were getting loans back then. I don't even know if you needed a social security number or even be alive. But now I imagine that they're going to be looking at your credit score, and people's credit scores range all the time. I do suggest, especially with all the credit breaches out there, that people do get credit monitoring just to make sure that things aren't, your credit isn't being tainted, especially if you're going in for a loan and all of a sudden you find out that your credit score is not up to par because of, you know, maybe your identity got stolen. The other thing that people have found out is it takes a while to remove any sort of discrepancies on your credit report. So yeah, make sure you're monitoring your credit before you even attempt to get in the loan. But what is what's kind of an accurate credit score that people are looking for investment loans?
Well, I think the bottom line, there isn't one particular number, Okay, it's your credit profile. Now, obviously, if you're down in the 600s and so forth, then we'll need to take the time to work with you to get your FICO scores up and get you in a better position. Your rates and everything and your approvals are based upon your credit worthiness as far as how strong are you, what is your payment history like, and so forth. So there isn't really a particular threshold that you have to be at, but you're going to see that the better the FICO scores and the better credit that you have, the cheaper your rates are going to be and your credit approval. Now, one thing going back to what your credit monitoring systems, before you go and apply for a loan and have them run your credit, please notify your credit monitoring systems, because they will sometimes block the credit from being run. And so you don't want to have a credit inquiry, but without a result of that credit being pulled. So monitor.
You want the ding. Yeah.
Yes. You want to be able to have that be processed through, especially because the time that you're going to be investing to go see your mortgage specialist and you go to try to run your credit and they can't. Now you've just wasted your time and you're going to have it done at a later time. And that does take time away from your investments.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned, all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
So a rule of thumb I've used before is maybe a 740 and above, and maybe the 20% down payment. Is that a good rule? You know,
It is, but I would not pigeonhole yourself into having a 740, because you do have some investment banks that will go lower than that.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes, absolutely. So do not get caught up into, I have a 660 and I guess I can't get a loan. That is not the case. It's your whole total credit profile that we base it upon, so that, you know, there's some people that just get it.
What are some things, like if you have a credit score below, you're not getting the rate you want, maybe you get turned down. What are some things you can do to improve your credit score? What do you run into with your clients? You say, all right, do this, this, and that, and then let's try to run through again.
So the biggest thing that I see that is a score improvement is your revolving credit lines. These are your credit cards. So when you look at your total on your credit card and you say, oh, look, I got a $5,000 credit limit on my credit card, and it's a brand new card, people go and they transfer money from an old credit card into the new credit card because it might have a lower interest rate. Okay, so now they take, you know, $2,500 from this card and $2,500 from this card, and they put it on a zero interest credit card.
I've heard of that.
And it happens. And well, what happens with that zero interest credit card? You all of a sudden, it's brand new. You put $5,000 on a $5,000 credit limit, and it shows the card is maxed out. Brand new card maxed out. They're going to lower your FICO scores. So the biggest thing that I see with people is to improve their FICO scores is get their balances down. And there's not a rule of thumb, but I'm going to use from my experience, I like to see anything less than 50% on a card balance. Mm. So $2,500 or less. Good payment history obviously will help. So if you need to increase your FICO scores, look at the balances on the cards. Contact me. We'll go through, do a credit analysis, and figure out what we need to do to be able to increase your FICO scores. Now, do not just randomly pay off things, because it might not affect it. That's why you need to have a specialist look at it and figure out what's going to be give you the best bang for the buck to increase your FICO scores to be able to get you into buying an investment property.
That's awesome advice. Yeah, you know, it's weird how they weight them and different credit agencies. And, you know, I've even seen my own personal score. I paid something off and I thought, oh, it's going to jack my score way up, and it barely budged. And so that's good advice. Another thing I'm sure they're going to look at is what your debt to income ratio is.
Right. So this is what's called your debt to income, or DTI. You'll hear that in the industry. Here again, DTI is based upon what your total debts are. And this could include all your credit cards, student loans. It could also include child support, spousal support, all these kind of things that get drawn into what's called your debt to income. Now, there's two numbers in your debt to income that you're going to maybe hear when you're doing a purchase of a home. And it's your front end ratio and your back end ratio. The front end ratio is your total housing debt. And that's sometimes you're going to see like a 16 or a 21 or a 31%. And then the back end is going to be your total debts of housing, student loans, you know, your credit cards, installment loans for your car payments, and so forth. So we want to see somewhere around a 36 would be an ideal, obviously, but we can take you up to about a 45, 46, just depending upon your credit history. And this really what draws back to your credit history, cash reserves in the bank, everything. It's your total credit profile, but you'd like to maybe, you need to make sure that that debt to income is all in that checks and balance. And this is where doing the full credit approval and income approval is so important when you're buying investment property.
I love that you're recommending that. You know, again, just from my own past and thinking I had all my ducks in a row without, you know, the full credit approval. I mean, it's or underwrite approval. It just makes sense, you know, investing somewhat emotional at times. And, you know, you find that perfect property, you're excited about it only to be turned down by a loan. So I love that you're recommending doing that for sure.
Yeah, it's very important, especially if you're married. You don't ever want to tell your wife that she's not going to get that investment property that she fell in love with.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, nor do you want to tell her that she's in charge of the demoing of the property and all of the rehab too. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. What other sort of things do you run into that you would, you know, take a look at or make sure that things are in line before even making the offer on the property?
I would actually, one of the important things is drive the neighborhood. You want to look at what is it going to, you know, your rent rules are going to be. Are you going to maximize your profit by buying this house? And so you're limited sometimes on the number of properties that you're able to buy because of your debt to income. So you want to be able to look and say, this is the most bang for my buck property. And is it going to appreciate too?
Appreciation. And, you know, it's funny when I'm speaking at my conferences, especially the ones here in Vegas, you kind of run into the people who have seen too many of flip this and flip that and the TV shows. And I just open the blinds to the Vegas Valley and I show them the Vegas Valley. And it's so interesting because some areas you're still able to make a profit quick turning. In some other areas you'd be stuck with property and you won't be able to quick turn it. And then you're paying those hard money loans and everything else that like that. And it could really sink you, or some of them just won't rent out. And so, yeah, I love research, get educated.
The important part is that research, okay? I think if you don't take the time to do your research, it's going to be probably cost. It's going to cost you a lot of money.
Sure.
Number two, if you don't kick the tires at the house, I mean, go through it. See when the last time the AC was replaced. What is the, you know, there's maintenance records on the house that you can get a hold of from the sellers. All these kind of things make a difference in your total investment experience. I've had an investor lose his shorts on his first deal because he didn't take time to find out the maintenance records and the AC had not been replaced in 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so immediately
those are cheap, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're pretty cheap.
A couple bucks here and there.
But so in part of that is kicking those tires and making sure what's out there. Now, I also recommend highly that you interview your real estate agent. You want to have an agent that has experience in rental properties, buying investment properties. They're going to know, they're going to see things that normal real estate agents that are just doing first-time home buyers or repeat clients, they're not going to know. And that is very important that they have some knowledge and experience in the rent and investment property field. The other recommendation is also when you do, if you're not using Todd Bowman at AmeriFirst Financial, ask your loan officer questions about investment properties. He should know those answers. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems a lot of times that happen on appraisals, the loan officer will order an appraisal for the property, but he does not order the rent rules for the area. And every investor that's going to be buying a property needs to know what the area rent rules are, because the when they go to sell that loan, they're going to have that for the portfolio.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, this is awesome. Those are the questions I had. Those are the pressing ones that my clients have been asking that I compiled and that I wanted to cover. Hey, appreciate you taking your time out of your busy day. If people wanted to get a hold of you, I know you only do loans in certain states, with like 26 maybe out there, was the last time I talked to you.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as my brother and to my clients, I'm sure you'd answer some questions. tbowman@amerifirst.us is his email. I just put him on the spot. But anyway, thank you again for being here and sharing some of your wisdom with our podcast here at Anderson Business Advisors and Bowman's Business Brief. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.